We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? Jay Lee, checking in, Ridgeway, South Carolina.
Seth Crack. What's happening, brother?
Get it off your chest.
I just came over to say what's up with y'all, man. I want to bless y'all morning with a quick little freestyle real quick. That's fine with y'all.
Oh, Lord. Boy. I swear if you wasn't from South Carolina, I would shut this down, but go ahead.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Check this out, though. My life is the same way. Sometimes I feel like I wake up to the same day. Trying to make a living, man. I'm trying to make it out. I'm trying to make sure that my family do it so we ain't stressing out. So every day I hustle, y'all. Pray to God daily. Watch me in these streets or somebody will try to play me. And to watch over my head. Somebody really be snake. So I keep my breath low.
Yo, you got to slow that down. You got to slow that down, my South Carolina brethren. You're going too fast. Like, what you going? What's up? You rapping like your life depends on it. Who hung up on him? Drum, that's disrespectful, Drum.
That was Drum.
Drum, that's disrespectful. Don't hang up on my South Carolina brethren.
I'm not going to do this to me. Envy's back. This is all him now. Now you guys know.
You said this is Envy's back and it's all him.
Wow.
Shut up.
Damn. He was like, Envy's back and it's all him. Wow.
Goodness.
God,
thank you, bro.
Damn. Jesus Christ.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. Get it off your chest.
Peace, Jessica.
Well, what's up? What's up? Good morning, guys. So I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
843.
Yeah, all day, but I still got my 917 number. You heard? So I'm an Uber driver. So I was on Folly Beach, and my phone plays music automatically. Like, I play a playlist, so there's no commercials. I like to make it feel comfortable. No offense, but four Caucasian people got into my car, and I had to take them 28 minutes away. It was cool. We were driving. WAP then played. Trap music done played, Fall Out Boy done played. I had a range of music, Lady Gaga. And as soon as Beyonce Brown Skin Girl came on, the lady in the back, I heard them whispering amongst themselves, like, who gonna say it? Finally, somebody was brave enough to come up and say it. They was like, excuse me, could you turn that song off? It's offending me. And I was like, what? That song offending you? And she said, well, it's all about, like, black girls. I'm not black. I don't relate to that. I was like, so something that celebrating my skin is offending you. So what did I do? I started a whole playlist off that doggone song.
There you go.
And she got all the black power music for all 28 music.
Now, wait a minute.
All the way to her destination.
Everybody step back from this situation and look at it objectively.
Oh, boy.
You're an Uber driver.
Correct.
And when you're an Uber driver, you're playing music because you want people to feel comfortable.
Correct.
They don't feel comfortable about the song. You don't got to get offended by it. She can't relate. She's a pale-ass mayonnaise-flavored mammal.
Yeah, but it's not that type of song. It's not like saying, you know, F white people. F, it's not that type of song.
She's just upset that she don't have that tan. That's all.
Well, she gonna.
Well, I'm just mad that all this trap music played. We don't hear drug dealer music. We don't hear WAP. We don't hear everything. You didn't get offended by nothing.
Because she know drug dealers. She knows drug dealers and she uses drugs. She might have. She got. She might. WAP might mean white ass to her. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
She just can't relate to being a brown skin girl. She's what kind of rating did no you tan. Give her?
What kind of rating did you give her?
Oh no! I gave her the same rating I usually give everybody else because she didn't rate me no less. Because okay. She knew she felt stupid after she said it.
All right, well, thank you.
Because mind you, if you heard the music that I was playing around, I was playing Korn, Fall Out Boy. I was playing all this other stuff in rotation. If anybody know what that music is, you would know that it was diverse. So and, get off yourself.
And I think you missed a good opportunity to teach, too, though, because you could have just told her, like, look, this is an ode to melanin.
All right.
That's
well.
All.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how's it going? It's Fernando. Good morning.
What's good morning, up, man. Fernando? Get off your chest.
Yes, sir. How's it going? I got a quick question for Charlamagne, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I don't know if somebody ever asked you this, but who's your top three donkeys of all time, and would you ever consider giving a donkey Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the year, we do a top five donkeys of the year. I'm going to be honest with you, top donkeys of all time, Donald Trump is definitely in the top three. I mean, I've given it to him more than anybody. And I'm going to always put myself in the top three because I always say, you know, when you give people the credit, you got to give everybody the credit they deserve for being stupid, including yourself. I don't know who the third one would be, though.
Sounds fair. Yeah. Y'all want to clue Braun from the Breakfast Club.
Thank you, King.
Thank you, brother.
All right, have a good one.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy, get it off your chest.
Hey, what's going on, Envy? What's up, Charlamagne? What's up, Yee?
Jeremy.
What's King. Up?
Yo, this is crazy because I never get through. I just want to shout out, Biden and Kamala for winning. I want to shout out my roommate, Eddie. And I just want to tell everyone have a nice day. And I got your book, Charlamagne. I got the audio version of Black Privilege. And then I have the
Thank you, brother.
Copy of the other one, man.
You
guys are doing a great
Thank
job.
You, man.
And I hope you guys all have a nice day.
You
all
too, right,
Thank
Jeremy.
You, you too.
Shout out to your roommate, Eddie, too, man.
Oh, he's going to love that.
Y'all in college together?
Nah, I'm 28, he's 29, I'm an accountant, he's an inside salesman.
Okay. Y'all in love?
Nah, I got
his roommates.
Yeah, the roommates.
Oh, two other roommates. Okay.
Why can't two bros just share a place and not be in love?
Bro, I'm just asking questions. That's all.
He was trying to bunk up with you guys. That's the reason why.
He had a whole scenario in his head.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was just asking questions.
They definitely spicy.
I was just asking questions.
Very spicy.
I got a
shout out to you and Eddie.
Sam.
All right. Yo, Sam, I said what's happening.
All right, bro.
He never wants to get through again.
I know, right? This guy got fantasies over there. Y'all in love. Hello, who's this?
My name's Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle, get it off your chest.
I just wanted to shout out my amazing boyfriend.
Oh.
You going to say his name?
What's his name, Rochelle?
His name's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd. Good morning. That was nice of you, Rochelle. What did he do What did he do yesterday that made you feel that way? I'm going to shout him out in the morning on the radio. He had to do something.
Well, every day he always makes sure that I have breakfast and he makes sure I have lunch. We work together, so.
Aww.
See? Pop-Tarts and Lunchables go a long way. I'm telling you, man.
He is the sweetest.
That's right.
Shout out to Todd.
All my brothers, give your woman some Pop-Tarts in the morning, some Lunchables for lunch, and it'll go a long way. Salute to you, Todd.
Now, what are you gonna do for him to show how thankful you are?
I always drink coffee every morning.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Every morning he gets a fresh cup of coffee.
Amazing. See, it's the little things, man. Shout out.
What you mean, that's it? Yeah, she appreciates it. He appreciates it. They love each other.
All right.
Oh, yes, of course.
All right. Well, you have a good morning. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? It's DC.
DC.
Columbus, Ohio.
What's up, brother? Get off your chest.
Peace, King.
What's up, everybody? You know, I just want to say, I'm trying to keep together, y'all. And I'm not having a good day.
Okay. Talk to me, brother.
You know, my lost my dad on Friday, you know?
Hold on, I'm
strong, okay?
Take your time.
Okay, I don't want to waste nobody's time.
Please take your time.
He was a great guy. He's a great stand-up man. Veteran, fucking Desert Storm, Persian Gulf, you know, just good guy, God-fearing guy, married to my mom for 30 years. That's all they've ever known since they were 14 years old, you know? That love is so real. You know, it's real. I don't know what to say, but I just want y'all to look. It's like, since they doing challenges, do this challenge. Just hold, next time you see your dad, just hold him for 60 seconds. Just hold him for 60 seconds. Don't let go, no matter how awkward it gets. Just hold him real tight, just 60 seconds, dog, because you just never know.
Absolutely.
You know, my dad would have been 50 years old next month. You know, 2020 ain't fair.
He was young.
But I don't want
to.
I don't want to keep, y'all, man, but, you know, just stay up. I listen to y'all. It's my first day back at work. I know I might be going to work too soon, but things need to get paid. You know,
well, listen, I'm gonna tell you something. I know your father was a good man because I can tell by the impact he had on his son.
Man, he would have impacted everybody. He was just that guy. You know, I want to say just R.I.P. Dwayne Foster,
rest in peace. And listen, don't be afraid to cry and let it out. It's fine. You don't have to be strong like that. It's okay.
That's right.
I'm by myself right now at work, you know, but I'm just, you know, my mom's calling me. So let me call y'all later. I love y'all,
man.
We love you.
All right, brother.
And by the way, my brothers, tears don't make you weak. Tears just mean that you care.
That's right. That's you can all. Be strong and cry. So yeah,
that's right.
Get it
tears
off
don't
your
make
chest.
You weak. Tears are just I guess what you would call weakness leaving the body. But I don't think it's weak at all. It just means you care.
800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What's up, y'all? It's Angela Yee wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have a special guest in the building.
The forever legendary.
Are you okay, Envy?
I was going to say the beautiful.
She had that effect on me.
She does. Yes. We have Nia Long here.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Nia Long. I saw you got your own day in New York from the mayor also.
Oh, my. You guys, I cried about that for like a week.
Yay, congratulations.
That was like the biggest honor, and I was so blown away, honestly, because you don't expect. Like, I have my own day.
August 27th.
Yes.
Do you feel the pressure to have to do something on that day now? Like in New York, like an event?
I have to come here every year on that day and talk to you. That's what I got.
That's good work.
That works.
Right.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's coming up.
I know it is.
How are you, though?
I'm okay. I lost my father.
Condolences.
Recently. Thank you. That. He was a great man, and it's amazing. I learned more about him by being in Trenton, New Jersey, for a week, just putting the whole thing together, than I ever knew. Mm. And he was such an icon in the community and did so much for so many of those kids living down there. So I was really proud of him.
He was a poet, right?
He's a poet. Yeah, he's a poet, a writer. Photographer, like a real, just a Renaissance man. Loved jazz music and good food. And he was really like Lorenz Tate and Lev Jones, but older. But I felt the school, Trenton High School, did a beautiful tribute to my father. I could not stop crying. I was just like, this is amazing. Because sometimes what a person can't do for their own children, they do for the world. And I'm okay with that if that meant that I had to share him.
Oh, I think that's because parents, they learn more as they grow. So when they was raising us,
they were 22 years old.
I was
thinking about that. I was thinking, I said, Mommy, I looked at my mother during the service. I said, Mommy, you were 22 years old when you had me. Right now, today, anything, I forgive you for everything. Because I couldn't have done it at 22. Right. 22, I was in the club.
That's been a heavy conversation with my therapist the past couple of weeks.
What's that?
That whole conversation about forgiving your parents. Well, my father in particular, because they only could do the best that they could because they didn't know any better when they were younger.
You have to really do it for yourself. It's if you commit that healing with yourself, it will honestly change the way you experience your own life. Mm. Because I think for a lot of years I was disappointed and angry, and I wanted, you know, my dad to like read me a bedtime story and be there and do all of the things that a daddy is supposed to do. And I think my father had a very old school way of approaching life, because Black people are raised to survive.
That's right.
And my mother and my grandmother, coming from the islands, they had a different philosophy. So had my parents stayed together, I may have still been an actress, but I don't think it would have happened as quickly as it did in my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have been a part of the era that really helped to define Black cinema.
Mm.
When I look at my life, and I'm going to be 50 this year.
That's great.
50, you guys. I get to do whatever the I want to do.
Be like, I can't wait.
We gotta upgrade the term black don't crack. It's gotta be something else.
50. Wow.
I can't believe it. But my point is when you get to this age, it's a beautiful time in my life because I can actually put everything into perspective and now it all makes sense.
Right.
And I feel more free and alive than I have in the last 10 years because I have understanding. And I've forgiven myself for not forgiving people sooner in my own life or forgiving my father for things that he was unable to do. And it's a good thing to do.
Don't we have the luxury of healing, though? This generation has the luxury of healing.
The fact that you just said, I've spoken to my therapist about certain things, Black people were not saying that 15, 20 years ago.
Not at
we
all.
Were like, we didn't, because there was this, you know, the idea was if you go to therapy, there's something really wrong with you.
But you're crazy.
That you're crazy. And the reality is we have so much information coming at us.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to sit down and organize your life and your thoughts.
That's right.
And if you don't do that, you will be in a constant state of you'll have anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got more with Nia Long. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Come on. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw him, you would even say it close.
Come on. Breakfast Club, bitches.
We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nia Long, actress. Yee.
So, Nia, how was your experience producing for the first time?
Yeah, I like when you said, yeah, I casted Omar Epps. I like that.
I didn't mean it like that. Did I say it like
life
that?
Flex.
It's true.
Life flex.
Because, you know, I've seen you talking about how you see all these white men getting rich off of movies that you're in. And now look at you producing. Is that the inspiration for that? And what was it like being on the other side?
It was difficult at times because I was very specific and deliberate about certain things. And to your point, the crew was white, the director was white, the producer was white, and they were lovely because they allowed me to correct things that needed to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still frustrating that you have to over-explain yourself. I kept feeling like I needed to apologize for wanting to change something.
Mm-hmm.
But why am I apologizing?
Right. You're trying to make this the best movie you possibly can make it. It benefits everybody.
And that's also being a woman in a position of power where there's all men around you. I was literally, like, there were literally, like, three women on that set.
Sheesh.
And I never backed down. I was like, nope, you need to change that. Nope, don't like that angle. Nope, move the camera. Nope.
And you see that a lot. Like, if you know if that's a guy, then they'll say that guy's being a boss. But if it's a woman, they'll be like, oh,
Nia
Long has a history of diva behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Because when I started in this business, you weren't supposed to say anything except thank you.
Mm.
And I was like, thank you, but I wasn't even aware. I was just being myself. I just don't think that you need to behave in any situation. I think you need to grow and learn.
Mm. Do you feel your evolution as a woman is shown through your characters?
Mm-hmm. Not in Roxanne. I don't know that lady.
You don't
know? I mean, she's not a part of me. Yeah. I do know that lady, mm-hmm. but I had to know that woman and have some experience. Look, we live right down the street from the projects when I lived in Brooklyn to understand how to play her, right? I do think so. I mean, I'd like to do more. I'd like to have more diversity in my portfolio.
You haven't played your dream role yet, right?
I don't think so. I think it's also like the body of work is what makes me proud.
Right. Such an impact to this day and age.
Thank you. And I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But after every job, I'm like, okay, was that the last one? What's happening next? Mm-hmm. And it never is.
You still got a lot in the pipeline.
Yeah, I do.
What do you tell a young actress right now that's watching this and wishing to be you one day or like you one day?
Authenticity. Don't change based on what you see. Change based on what you know you need to do to better yourself. Because I think a lot of times young artists come and they steal a little bit of this and they steal a little bit of that. But if you really start from your authentic self, all the embellishments will come through your experiences, and that's what creates and grows the artist. When we did Love Jones, everyone was like, oh my God, this is like the modern day Mahogany. And I was like, okay, but isn't that what art is? You take from the past and you recreate it, and you are to be inspired by the thing that came before you and the thing that's in front of you.
What do you think was different about black cinema in the 90s, though, that's lacking now? Because black films don't have that feeling. I'm sorry. They just don't. There's no Boys in the Hood. There's no Love Joneses. It don't have that same energy.
I know. I don't know.
Boys in the Hood was a great story.
Right.
Love Jones was a great story. Minister Society was a great story. The stories just be whack now.
Look, here's the thing. I think, you know, when you have a person like John Singleton, rest his soul, when he died, that broke my heart.
Right. Mm.
He discovered me. He created a lane for people to even care about my name. And so losing him and then losing my father, and I was like, God, like, and they were kind of like the same kind of dude, you know? I don't know that they make them like that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know that they make men that are so aware of the black struggle, so savvy to make change and then make art.
So you got to produce more. That's the moral of this conversation.
Right.
You have to produce more, Ms. Long.
And I will.
Ms. Long has to go, guys.
All right. I will. Thank you. That was a beautiful interview.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club. It's Ms. Nia Long.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, today is National Pass Gas Day. We're just having some fun with it. So we're asking 800-585-1051, do you have an embarrassing or crazy passing gas or farting story? Now, our board op, Dramos, he just said when he first started working here, he let one loose. And it was horribly. It smelled.
Let Drum tell his own story. Put the mic on his beard.
Okay.
There you go. It was like my first week working with you guys, and you know, my stomach was a little upset.
You trying to make a good impression?
I was trying. Yeah. So I farted, and I was hoping nobody noticed. But then, of course, somebody made a comment about it, and you guys went on the air. You blamed our other producer Eddie for it, and you know,
Why didn't you come clean?
I was new. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a bad impression my first week here. So now
you're a liar.
Eddie, I'm sorry.
Now what about? Well, we just heard about Charlamagne's story. Him and Curry at the stoplight.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I don't have these problems with embarrassing fart stories because I don't fart in my clothes. And the reason I don't fart in my clothes is because the last time I farted in my clothes was around 2003, 2004. This was when I was living in Columbia, South Carolina, working at Hot 103.9. My now wife was going to the University of South Carolina. The night before, I went to this Jamaican spot called Cool Runnings. I was dropping her off at her dorm, and I wanted to run upstairs and use her bathroom, but I could tell it was gonna be like one of those really embarrassing, like nasty, disgusting, blow up the bathroom type things. So I tried to make it back home, and I got to the light, and I was like, I'm gonna fart a little bit just to ease off the pressure, ease the tension off the stomach. Mm-hmm. And when I let that little fart out, I felt some warmness and like some liquidy stuff going down like the back of my leg and my cheeks.
So that wasn't a little, that was a lot.
So at that point, I had on some Pecco jeans. I think it was called Paco. Paco jeans? I had on some Paco jeans. And at that point, I was just like, let it rip. And so as I kept farting, it just kept coming out nice, warm, and runny. And then I pulled up to my apartment complex, all in my car. I used to drive a little gray Honda Civic. And I pulled up to the apartment complex, and I'm like, yo, I hope my next door neighbor Val's not outside, because her and her friends be outside, because like I'm disgusting right now. So I ran upstairs. She wasn't there. My Paco jeans were destroyed, and I actually threw the underwear away but took my Paco jeans to the cleaners, but was too embarrassed to go back for them.
Getting nasty.
Yes.
What about you, Yee?
I farted in my sleep before, and I only know that because my boyfriend told me.
I do that all the time.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's kind of embarrassing. And then there's times when I've had to really struggle to hold it in during times that, you know, it's a really bad time to fart. Yeah.
You know what? I'm the king of getting in the elevator farting and then not thinking there's nobody else gonna come, and then the elevator stops at another floor and they walk in, and I always gotta be like, woo, I don't know who did this before I got in there.
Well, another reason I don't fart around people, because I tell people all the time, farting is a form of flirting. So if you're a man who likes to fart around another man, like, you're really sending off signals. Like,
really?
Those are like male pheromones. Men got pheromones, right? So those are ass pheromones. Those are pheromones from your ass. Pheromones. Basically, you just don't, if you don't want another man to think you're flirting with him, don't fart around him. Because the truth of the matter is, why would you want another man to know what your ass smells like?
And the worst is when you don't
sounds
know
like
your,
an invite to me, goddamn.
When you're about to fart and you don't know it and you go to pee and your significant other is in the bed and they hear you fart while you pee.
What about when you sneeze and fart at the same time, but you don't know if people heard the fart?
I do that as well.
So you don't say that.
You don't say that, just keep it quiet.
The sneeze is so loud, yeah, but the fart sounded just as loud, so you just don't say nothing.
Janae.
Hi, guys. Oh, my God. I can't believe I made it through.
Where you been farting at, huh?
Well, it's actually not me. I witnessed the fart. So my husband and I and a group of friends went to the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., and it was really quiet. Everyone was taking it in, and this old white guy, he farted so loudly and tried to play it off like it wasn't him.
Now, how old is he now?
He had to have been like 70.
He can't control that.
You got to let a 70-year-old man fart when he wants to fart, man.
No,
he's earned the right.
But he played it. It's just the context that we were in. We're in an African-American museum. You're an old white guy, and you just going to fart while everybody's just trying to take in this.
He ain't doing it on purpose.
You niggas was making him nervous.
You think he did it on purpose?
He's 70 years old in an African-American museum. His granddaddy killed some of those people y'all was looking at. Come on,
gracious.
Now.
800-585.
I have no sympathy for nobody.
105. When we're talking fart stories, I'm scared to sleep on a plane sometimes. I know when I sleep on a plane, I know I like that plane up.
Yeah, I can attest that you have.
See? Hello, who's this?
Jay Cotton.
Hey, what's up, bro? We're talking about embarrassing fart stories.
So, yeah, look, I was in a club one night, and the club was letting out, and we was in line to get our coat. I had gas bad as hell, and I was holding it. I was trying to be, you know, cordial or whatever, but it was two chicks behind me. And I had to let it go. When I let it go, I tried to play it off and turn around like, man, where the hell that came from? When I tell you, they was looking at me so crazy, like, I knew it was your black ass. Like, we knew it was you. And I just was like, you know, like, I tried to play it off, but it funked the club up. I really got two stories. I met Yee in Detroit, like, a few weeks ago.
You fought it with Yee in Detroit?
Oh, my gosh.
Listen. Man, listen. The picture we took, Yee, your face was so priceless, like, it just looked like I farted. I don't know if I...
Was
if
this
I
in Foot Locker?
No, this was at La Culture.
Oh, okay. That's a little wild. Okay, yeah, you probably did fart.
You just farting all over the place. And you a chef, nasty ass.
I don't feel sorry for none of y'all because I think all of y'all are terrorists. First of all, you fart in your clothes. And when you fart in front of people or on people, especially in enclosed places, you need to be arrested. We need to treat, like, especially farting on a plane, we need to treat that the way we treat people who threaten the president.
But for some reason, when you go up on that plane, something with the air and whatever,
oh
it
gosh.
Makes you want to fart.
No, that's
yes,
just
it does.
That's just you,
it
sir.
Makes you want to fart.
Yes,
it's probably what you eat before. It's probably what you eat before you get on the plane.
When you're on the plane, it gives you more gas.
No,
I've never felt like that.
I got
that.
Gas right now.
We believe you.
Yeah, bro.
You're a very gassy person.
I ain't flirting with y'all. Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey,
Aaron.
Hey, we're talking about embarrassing fart stories.
Yeah, so one night I was getting my son ready for bed, reading him a little story, and tried to slide one out real silent. Came out a little louder than anticipated. And I said, ooh, mommy's sorry. He said, what was that? I said, mommy farted. It's okay, he said, with sheer disappointment on his face. Mommy fart? Yeah. Yeah, what? Same thing comes out of me as it comes out of you.
Uh-oh.
So. That's not
I
true.
I wouldn't say that to him.
Because it's going to be that time of month one day, yeah. And he might see a little bit more than he needs to see. Yeah. And you can't say what comes out of mommy comes out of you.
Out of my butt. How's that?
Okay. Well, you going to tell everybody at school.
That's right. If one day you wake up and your son's butt is bleeding, you better call goddamn diapers.
You go too far. Hello, who's this?
Kobe,
we're talking about your embarrassing fart stories.
One time I was eating this girl from the back, and
you
I
farted?
Heard a sound that sounded similar to a fart. She claimed that she queefed.
Yeah, that could
I don't
be a queef.
Getting farted on your nose or queefed on your tongue.
Did you smell it?
The room smelled like weed, so I really didn't even notice.
You know what, man?
All
you
right.
Know what,
if
man.
You didn't smell it, it was a queef.
You know what, man? A lot of women are a member of a tribe called Queef. I don't see anything wrong with that. Don't shame her for queefing.
Yeah, queefing happens.
I didn't shame them. Just finished it up, and it was a night as usual.
What did it sound like?
Did you stop or did you stay down there?
I think you got a flat tire, bro. Yo, you might want to pull over. I think you got a flat. Yeah.
My goodness.
Somebody called AAA for the homie, yo.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is when someone sneezes, you say, God bless you. When someone farts, what do you say? I'm asking for a friend. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I just feel like you should say something. If you hear a fart out loud, you can't act like you didn't hear it, right?
You just say excuse you.
Excuse you.
Excuse you.
Excuse you, you nasty piece of
goodness
excuse
gracious.
You.
All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club.
Happy holidays.
Wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line right now, the legend Morris Day.
Man.
Yes.
Light skin is always in the building.
Hey, you know it. You know it. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. Blessed, black, and highly favored. Morris. I feel like I know you because my daddy used to listen to so much Morris Day and the Time growing up. And you know, in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, in his little juke joint, he always was playing Morris Day and the Time.
Hey, props to Pops.
Yes, sir.
And you still got the good hairline popping.
Hey, watch out now, you know. We got to keep it nice, you know?
Morris is here because he's released a new book.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start, because there might be some people that don't know who Morris Day is that listen to The Breakfast Club. So let's explain to the people who Morris Day is and how you got your start. So where are you from? Let's start the high school, who you went to high school with, and how you got started in the music industry.
Well, I'm actually from a small town in Illinois, Springfield, which is actually the capital. Everybody thinks Chicago is, but it's Springfield. And early years, you know, but then I moved to Minneapolis. We were supposed to be going to California, but my mom said we're gonna stop in Minneapolis to visit a sick aunt, and we stayed there for the next 20 years.
Wow.
You know, it turned out I lived on the same block that Prince did, around the corner, and I didn't know, you know, I mean, he was like 10 years old, and I'd see him and his sister Tyka playing outside, and I didn't meet him until like 4 or 5 years later, and ended up being in the same band with him. We had a band called Grand Central, and, you know, Prince helped me get my start. He got his solo start and helped me get my start, and, you know, it's kind of history from there. Mm-hmm.
So y'all literally grew up together in the same neighborhood since y'all was 10 years old.
And didn't know it.
Now, was he always good in basketball? Did y'all used to play basketball?
I didn't know him. I mean, I saw him back then, you know, playing outside with his sister, But, you know, I didn't find out, you know, that he was a musician and all that until like 5 years later, like 14, 15 years old. But yeah, he was an awesome basketball player.
Wow. Now, your book is interesting how you wrote it, because a lot of it is what you would imagine Prince would respond to some of the stories that you have to tell and your recollections of you coming up and becoming, you know, the Morris Day and the time and the whole journey to get to that point. So it seems like you guys had such an interesting relationship because y'all knew each other for so long. He was very much intricately involved with you becoming the superstar that you became, but then there were some discrepancies between you two along the way.
You know, brothers fight. But you're right. You better believe that the responses that in the book that I came up with are real world responses, because, you know, we knew each other well. After I got out of his camp, you know, we didn't talk all that much, but we spent a lot of time together in the early years.
On Time, A Princely Life in Funk. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Day. Do you feel you get your proper credit, or do people think of you as just a Prince creation?
Well, you know, some people think that, and, you know, social media is beautiful and it's ugly at the same time. As far as credit, you know, I know what I did, you know, in the organization. If anybody questions whether I can write a song, then you need to research that, because that's how I got my start. But Prince was such a creative genius. I would never dispute how somebody feels about him versus me. I'm humble about that. You know, I think people are entitled to their opinions, and it's all good.
Do you think that if you would have tried to negotiate more for yourself, that you would have been in the position that you were in with him, or you think he would have shut it down? Because it feels like he was like, this is what it is, take it or leave it.
That's the way he came across. But sometimes I question, if I had taken a harder position with him, I'd probably have a little more of that Purple Rain money.
Yeah, and you brought up an interesting point, because your songs aren't on the soundtrack.
Not at
right?
all.
And those were huge songs, and I think it would have benefited the actual soundtrack. There were some other songs in the movie that weren't on the soundtrack also.
Yeah, no, we had decent sales, but had we been on the soundtrack, which was a shrewd move on the brothers' part, you know, the sales would have been, you know, substantially greater.
What was your relationship when he passed away? Did you have a tight relationship, good relationship?
You know, I've been fortunate enough to not really have people close to me pass away. Mm-hmm. So that was a real shocker for me. That was the closest one of the closest people to me. And he insisted that we come to Paisley Park to do a show for him. And in the past, he had kind of stiffed me a few times. So I was like, brother, if you want me to bring my band to Minneapolis again, you're gonna have to pay me up front. And, you know, he sent all the money and everything. And we went there, and he was very gracious, and we got to talk. We talked before the show, we talked after the show. And in parting, he said, you know, I love you. And he had never said anything like that to me before. And I was like, I love you. And that was pretty much the last words that we had. So I walked away from that feeling like, what changed? You know, what's different? Why did he say that? And 2 months later, that was it.
Wow.
Now, one thing that people might not know is that you had Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis as part of your band early on, before they went to go become the super producers and writers who they are. So how did you mend that relationship after you fired them from working with you?
Damn it, man. You just gonna fire those super producers? You could have signed them.
It's in the book.
But how do you mend a relationship like that? Because to me, it's like, look, we popping over here, you know? So do we need to come back and work again? So how does that even, like, how does that conversation happen?
That's a great question. You know what? First of all, I didn't fire them. I was signed to Prince's production company, and he fired.
Prince fired Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. He's not here to defend himself, Morris. We don't know if we believe your story.
You know what? I want the brother to rest in peace, so I ain't going to sit here and lie on it. But I'll tell you, he fired him. That was a tough moment for me, because we were in the studio recording Ice Cream Castles, not just the album, but the song Ice Cream Castles. And wow. He called them in, and they showed up, and he fired them. And, you know, one of my pet peeves coming up as a musician was, I always hated to see one of my favorite bands start replacing members, because mm-hmm. I like my bands to stay the way I like them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really dropped my head and had a real tough day when he did fire them. So I never had a relationship to heal with them, because they know I didn't fire them.
Okay.
Could the time have been as successful as they were if Alexander O'Neill remained the lead and not you?
well, they wouldn't have had a lead singer who was quite as pretty, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think it would have changed the whole dynamic of things. To be honest, I love Alex. Alex is an incredible singer. I wish I could sing half as well as Alex. But it just would have been a whole different dynamic. And, you know, Alex and I were best buddies, you know, back through then. But he wanted something, you know, more than what we had. And it just kind of turned out. I just wanted to be a drummer. So I kind of got pushed out there. We tried a few lead singers, including Alex, and it didn't work out. And Prince was like, well, you do it.
How often did Give the Drummer Some get you late?
Well, Give the Lead Singer Some works a little better.
All right, we got more with the legendary Morris Day. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Morris Day. Charlamagne?
Did writing this book serve as a form of therapy to work out maybe some remaining grief you had from the loss of Prince?
You like to ask some good questions, don't you? Yeah. No, it was definitely therapeutic because I found myself going down, you know, memory lane in a way that I probably didn't want to at times. And at times it was really great. And I always thought in my life I would like to, like, do the memoirs of Morris Day. And I just didn't know that I would do them as soon as I did. And, you know, at times it was painful, but it was therapeutic because I did get some things off my chest and revisit some things that I probably needed to revisit.
And how did being in the band and you also battled your own demons during that time affect your relationships? You know, because you did get married, you did have children during that time. So how did that affect your relationships?
Well, you know, the demons are among us. So, but I dealt with them big time when I was younger and dumber, you know, but fortunately, you know, God had a plan for me. I'm still here. I think I'm doing better than I ever have, you know, even through this pandemic, they call it. But, you know, it's life is life. You know, you got to deal with it. I had some serious demons, but, you know, and they caused some serious damage to me and other people. But, you know, I got through it. Everybody got through it.
What did your kids say reading this book? Because I know you reflected on how you wish you would have had a better relationship while your kids were young. So how did you mend that? And what did they say when they read this?
The love from kids is unconditional. It's a true statement. Mm-hmm. So my kids don't really drag me through it so much about, you know, how I was. I really wasn't that bad. I'm not like a bad person, but, you know, my older kids, you know, my oldest is 43. And, you know, she doesn't, you know, rip me up about it too much. It's all love. So, you know, people are people and people make mistakes and life goes on.
Was there any pushback from anybody on the dialogue between you and Prince throughout the book? Maybe his estate or something?
Yeah, if you go on to Prince's online community he has, you know, everybody has their opinion. But at the end of the day, I was the one that was there. So you can have your opinion, but you got to understand that it was my life that I lived, and I was there.
Did you have to get approval from Prince's estate to speak on his behalf in the book?
No, they haven't bothered me so far, you know, because I think they know that might be a mistake. Because even though I do speak about Prince, I'm telling my life story.
Right.
Because you know all the bones are buried if you need to go dig them up.
Trust me, I left a lot of them buried.
Well, you did speak on the rivalry between Prince and Michael Jackson in the book. What were Prince's true feelings towards Michael Jackson?
Well, you know, he had respect for Michael, but, you know, there's a rivalry because, you know, Prince rose to that level where it was appropriate to say, you know, this is competition. And anybody who could say they were in direct competition with Michael Jackson, they're in a good space as far as an entertainer goes.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading one time where you said Rick James was jealous of Prince.
He was. You know, Rick, you know, started to feel the pressure. And, you know, I understand that pressure because that's the kind of pressure that the time started to put on Prince, you know, when we were doing concerts. And Prince was putting that type of pressure on Rick James where he was starting to steal the show. Rick being the kind of brother that he was, he wasn't liking that shit. So, you know, I understand it because, like I said, that's what the time did to Prince. And that's why he took us off of some of those major markets. We couldn't go to Chicago, L.A., New York. We couldn't go to the major markets with it because we was putting pressure on it.
Did y'all ever get any fights with all that? No, because you're talking about all these different shows. But did y'all ever get physical?
Well,
it's in the book.
It's in the book.
No, the closest we came to getting physical, we had a huge food fight. And it was in, I believe,
y'all throwing pancakes all over the goddamn place.
Pancakes, sausage, everything, man. We, you know, but he started it. We was on stage, and he, for some reason, got the bright idea that he want to start throwing eggs up on the stage while we was up there.
So y'all performing, and they chucking eggs at y'all.
Eggs coming across the stage. So, you know, he said, and then he threatened me. He said, you better not try and do that to me when I'm on stage. And I, you know how it is. If you say don't do it, guess what?
You got to do it.
I got to do it. So we did the same thing, and it carried on after the show. It went into the backstage area. They had my guitar player, Jesse, handcuffed to a coat rack and just all kind of crazy stuff. And it ended up me getting the bill. I had to pay $5,000 out of the, you know, little money I was getting, you know, to clean, because the venue charged us a cleanup fee. So that's really, and it got ugly. It did get ugly. So that's really the closest we came to, you know, getting physical.
I'm shocked that you said Prince, you know, didn't take y'all on the road because he didn't like pressure. I would think somebody like Prince would love to have somebody challenging him on that stage.
Well, you got to understand, it's the Frankenstein monster that he built. I think he believed that we would be good, but I don't think he believed that we would be as good as we were.
Wow.
So I believe, you know, we took it, and I think that the members of the time speak for itself, because if you think about, you know, what everybody did, you know, Terry and Jimmy, you know, unlimited ability as songwriters and producers. Jesse Johnson had a great solo career. Jerome was a great personality, great actor, you know, and you know, we just, we had a chemistry that I don't think he expected.
Now, did you ever think of doing a movie yourself? Because I know, obviously, you were in Purple Rain, the Graffiti Bridge movie. Had you ever at that time said, I should just write my own movie, just the way Prince was writing these movies and developing these ideas?
Yes, I've thought that. And that's in my brain, and it's on the back burner right now, moving toward the front.
Yeah, you had a TV show back in the day.
Yeah.
It was canceled. It was canceled not because of ratings, but because the studio didn't get along with your show's producer, Ralph Farqua, I think his name is.
Yeah, I've had two like that, you know, were canceled. And, you know, the one that I did, New Attitude, with Cheryl Lee Ralph and Yvonne Stickney, that was a bona fide hit as far as the Nielsen ratings were concerned. Mm-hmm. But there was a hiatus and they canceled the show, and then the show aired and it had high ratings, but it didn't exist anymore. And then we had another show, Jerome and I, that was called Hotel Dicks, and we were both hotel detectives. And
Hotel Dicks. Also...
Yeah.
That's a wild name.
Wild name, man. And, you know, that show got canceled, but there was a lot of internal issues, and they were changing powers at Fox at the time. So, you know, that one was, but it just kind of made me believe maybe I'm not an actor, because I can act, but I don't like the part of acting where somebody tells me what to do, what time to get up, what time to be at work, and all of that stuff.
That's,
you
know, part of it.
That's
sir.
The way, yeah, it works, Mr.
It costs a lot of money to do these productions. They need you on
yes,
time.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I understand that, but I don't like that part of it.
So is the rumor about the studio not getting along with your show's producer, Ralph, true, or was it you not wanting to do the work?
Well, I wanted to do the work. I was there. I was there every day on time, looking good, ready to go, and knew my lines and all of that. So it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was internal problems.
Got you.
All right, now don't move. We got more with Morris Day when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Morris Day. Yee.
Now, your mom managed you early on, so how was that experience having her as your momager? And then when did you kind of break away from that? How was that separation?
Well, you know, first of all, having your mom manage you, it sounds cool. But it's pressure, you know, because you got a group of individuals and sometimes they don't agree with what the manager has to say. And when it's your mom, you don't appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? So it's saying, hey, you know, the manager, I don't like what she said. I don't like this. I'm like, but wait a minute. You know, this is double edged for me because that's my mom you're talking about. So it was cool.
How long did that last?
She probably managed us for maybe 2 years. And that was when we were teenagers.
Did she quit, or did you fire her?
It was tough, but you know, she had big ideas for us. She was definitely shooting toward trying to get us a record deal. The problem with my mom was she was a very attractive young lady. And so, you know, we had people like Isaac Hayes coming, "Oh, I'm gonna give him a deal," but what was you really looking for?
No. You know?
Damn.
No.
Now listen, would you look at her any other way if you found out that, you know,
come on,
she might have done some things just to make some things happen?
That's his mama now.
I know, I'm just
saying. Had an interesting relationship.
I told you it was double-edged.
Yeah. Ooh.
When you look in the book, there were some cross relationships.
I don't, first of all, I had never even, like, considered that, but, I don't know, man.
Mr. Day, what do you think was different about the era that y'all came up in as opposed to this one? Because back then, you know, y'all were flamboyant, right?
Yeah.
But nobody ever called y'all out of y'all name or said, "Oh, those guys are gay," or did they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did, because you know we did stuff like wear makeup and
high heels,
you know, and stuff like that. And Prince was big on, you know, he even like crossed the line as far as dressing, you know, with the heels and, you know, and all of that stuff. So you know that came up a lot, but I really think that at the end of the day, talent and ability prevailed. And that's why many people love Prince and people respected. You know, I didn't, you know, go that metrosexual road as far as he did. But I know the brother wasn't gay. You know, people say that to me, I'd be like, okay, well, leave your girlfriend with him for a few hours and come back and tell me, is he still gay? You
know? That's what I saw. I saw y'all with all the women. Y'all had all the beautiful women around y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, it was all good, man. You got to take the bitter with the sweet. You know, that's the tough thing about going on social media. You getting all this praise and everybody's like, hey, I love it. And then here comes that one hater. You know, that's just part of life, I guess. You know, people have their opinions and you got to let them have it.
You said Prince even got booed off stage at a Rolling Stone concert because they thought he looked too feminine.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Rolling Stone concert, it would look like a bunch of Hells Angels or motorcycle gangs out there. And here come Prince with a trench coat on and some bikinis and some leg warmers and some high heels. That messed with their minds, you know what I mean? They're like, I'm not expecting this. I'm here to see the Rolling Stones. And then next thing you know, beer bottles started flying. And at that time, I was the cameraman for Prince, so I had my video camera set up, and I'm in the back, and I'm back by the soundboard, and they're booing and throwing beer bottles, and it was ugly.
What about when Prince pulled up with the pants with the ass cheeks up?
Yeah, I saw that. I wasn't around then. I was like, that's pushing it a little bit, brother.
Did you hit him up and tell him that? Or y'all wasn't speaking then?
Here's the funny thing. I never had Prince's phone number. Once I left the camp, I never had the ability to call the brother. You know, the only way we talked is if he called me, and it was always his security calling me first, and then, you know, he comes in with a mysterious deep voice, you know, after, you know, they find, you know, after I answer the phone. So, you know, I really didn't have that privilege or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. To call him. But, you know, I probably would have been like, what's up with the pants, brother, you know?
Did you ever have any slight jealousy for Prince? Or huge jealousy for Prince? I don't know.
I think my jealousy probably came in is like, I really feel like I should have partook in the finances a little more than the $50,000 that I got for Purple Rain. And then I'm watching him on the cover of People magazine. They said he made it $17 million. And the movie was just heating up at that point. So I felt a little jealous about getting left out of the financial part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was so interesting because you guys weren't allowed to do anything with anyone else. It was exclusive. So mm-hmm. even when you had opportunities to go write for other people and work with other people, it just couldn't happen. And that's a real sacrifice that you made.
Which is really why I left the camp, because, you know, I was comfortable there if I had been able to do other things. And I had gone to Prince and I had to go through the management and told them I wanted to do a solo record. And they said, okay, give me a minute on that. They come back to me and they said, okay, Prince says yes, but he has to be executive producer. Well, I know what that means. That means total control over the project. And that's why I chose to leave. And I had to pay a substantial amount of money to get out of the deal with him. Mm-hmm. But I said, I need my own creative freedom, which I don't think I would have gotten had I stayed. So, you know, I had to make a move.
Wow.
So we can expect a movie from this book, right?
Hopefully.
Now you're talking.
Well, here's my final question for you, Mr. Day. Did you write this book for yourself or Prince?
I wrote this book for myself. And you know what? It was suggested that I do a book. And, you know, we have one of the best writers in the business, David Ritz, who wanted to do this book with me because, you know, I'm not a writer per se. But, you know, and it just made so much sense that I said, okay, I'll do it. And I was really afraid of the time commitment because, you know, I'm not a workaholic. So, you know, I was just thinking, now I gotta be every day, you know, writing this book. You know, but David made it an easy process for me. And, you know, I'm really glad I got an opportunity to do it. Now, you know, if you really pay attention to it, I've done a lot in my lifetime. And, you know, it ain't gonna stop. But, you know, blockbuster movie, book, been a performer, been an actor, you know. And so, you know, life is beautiful.
All right.
Well, we glad you exist, my brother.
Absolutely.
We glad your art exists. We glad that this new book, On Time, A Princely Life in Funk, exist as well, and I hope everybody goes out there and grabs it.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate
y'all.
Have a good
one, brother. You be safe.
Peace, King. Right.
Morris Day's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Donkey of the Day
goes to a hip-hop music producer named J.W. Lucas. I have never heard of this individual in my life. Didn't know he existed until yesterday. Envy, you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Angelique, you ever heard of him?
Nope.
Okay, but he's produced for Lil Uzi, Jack Harlow, DaBaby, and Pop Smoke, so says The Shade Room, and Genius. I feel like I am giving this man what he wants, and what he seems to want is attention. I don't know how or why you wake up and go to your social media and open up your Twitter and decide to tweet out something like this. This is what J.W. Lucas tweeted out. Why is the world asking for justice for hashtag Breonna Taylor? Of course she shouldn't have lost her life. But do you realize that she was involved with multiple drug dealers who were using her house as a trap spot? If you sign up for that life, there are consequences. End tweet. He actually posted that. Those words came out of his thumbs. First of all, wow. None of that is true. Right? None of that is true. Let's just start there. None of that is true. We should all know the story of Breonna Taylor by now. If you don't, here's a quick recap. Shortly after midnight on March 13th, Louisville police officers executing a search warrant used the battering ram to enter the apartment of 26-year-old Breonna Taylor. Contrary to J.W. Lucas's dumbass tweet, she was not a trap queen. She was an emergency room technician. All right? She was in bed with her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker. Okay? When they both heard the door get banged down, it was a brief exchange. And Kenneth did what I believe any human in America who owns a firearm would do if someone broke into his house, and that's let the hammer fly. All right, that's exactly what the right to bear arms is all about, okay? The Second Amendment is the right for people to possess weapons for their own defense. There is not a man, woman, or child in America who owns a gun, who knows how to fire a gun, who would not have done the same thing in that situation, okay? Kenneth fired, police fired back several shots, and poor Breonna Taylor was murdered. Now, there was so many things wrong with this situation, but the main problem was police had been investigating two men who they believe were selling drugs out of a house that was far from Ms. Taylor's home, okay? But a judge had also signed a warrant allowing the police to search Ms. Taylor's residence because the police said they believed that one of the two men had used her apartment to receive packages. No drugs were found in the apartment, okay? None. The police report contained multiple errors. They listed Breonna Taylor's injuries as none, even though she had been shot 8 times. And they say they did not force their way into the apartment, though they used the battering ram to break the door open. And police had already located the main suspect in the investigation by the time they decided to run up in Breonna's apartment. So they had who they were looking for already, okay? The moral of the story is J.W. Lucas doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And only in America will a white man find a way to defend the oppressor while making the oppressed a victim. Now, I saw on Hollywood Unlocked and the Shade Room yesterday, where one of our fearless leaders, Queen Tamika Mallory, drop one of Clues Bonds for Tamika Mallory. Speaking to J.W. Lucas, some people said Tamika was wasting her time. I don't think standing up for Breonna Taylor or any black person who has lost their life due to systemic racism is a waste of time. I thought maybe this guy, J.W. Lucas, would have come to his senses and let Tamika talk some sense into him after being corrected, but no. Let's listen.
It's extremely racist for a white man to try to tell black people what we are doing, where we need to go, what our issues
that,
are.
That is part of the gated institutional narrative. Tamika, I should be a leader in the Black Lives Matter movement because I'm more capable than you.
Right.
Yes, I am.
You know what? Here's what
you don't understand
do.
The nature
Here's
of reality.
Do,
All negative externalities must be eliminated.
The people that you do business with to make a decision about whether or not what you're saying and the propaganda and the lies that you're spreading is something that they should continue to support. So what I promise you is that you will have to deal with me for the rest of your life, because anybody you do business with, I'm gonna show up to make sure that they know that you are a racist and that your rhetoric and the tone that you're using is extremely dangerous, and that you disrespected the life of a young 26-year-old
never,
woman.
Never. I will not accept that. That's and it shows your colors. You don't give a about decreasing problems, Tamika. You care about getting your own political game.
Did you hear the white privilege oozing out of his pores? Right? First of all, people really need to watch their tone when it comes to talking to queens like Tamika Mallory. Second of all, for him to say he can lead the movement better than Tamika? What do you even say to that? Like, what's your response? Why do you even dignify that with a response? Why does he feel comfortable talking like that and saying
I'm disgusted.
Like he could lead the movement better than Tamika? You know why? Because he's a white man talking to a black person, especially a black woman. So it's a level of superiority and privilege that just comes with that. All right, sexism, racism, we already know what it is. Now, keep in mind, he's a hip-hop producer. So he was also on last night talking hip-hop. Listen to what this man said about our culture.
You're calling me a culture vulture. When I am telling you that I bring more to hip-hop culture than anyone in it, period.
He does more for hip-hop than anyone in it?
That's crazy.
I never even heard of you tell yesterday, okay? The caucasity. The unmitigated, ghostly, pale gall of this human. You know, JW, feel how you want to feel. Say what you want to say. It's America. You have that right. Do your thing. But there has to be consequences and repercussions for people who talk like this. See, you can have freedom of speech, but you cannot be free of the consequences of said speech. And this is why we need our own version of, like, the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL, these organizations that fight against bigotry and racism when someone does or says something that's offensive, you know, to our culture, hip-hop, blackness. We should be organized or have an organization that lets people know this ain't welcome, okay? We see it happen to people all the time, but for some reason, when it comes to hip-hop and blackness, people are just allowed to continuously disrespect us, and nobody says anything, all right? Nothing happens. Case in point, as I've said before, we can't even get the cops who kill us fired. We can't even get people canceled when they kill us. So, of course, someone like J.W. Lucas feels comfortable disrespecting us on all levels while making money in and off our culture. J. Lucas, today is a nice day. So at some point today, I want you to go outside barefoot if you can. Put your feet in the ground, okay? Get grounded, all right? Take a few deep ocean breaths. Make sure your inhales and exhales are long, full, and deep. After you do that, look up. Look up, look up, look up. There is a star at the center of the solar system. It's the foundation of the solar system. It's a nearly perfect sphere of hot plasma. I want you to look at it. Feel the rays from it. Let it shine on your white skin and say to yourself, sun! Scream it, sun, and then spell it to yourself, S-U-N, give me a S, give me a U, give me a N, and let it be a reminder to you that sun means shut up, That's what you have to do when you feel like tweeting something stupid or getting on live and saying something stupid. Just go outside and get some sun and remind yourself to shut up, and yes, white folks can be N-words too. Please let Remy Ma give J.W. Lucas the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised at you, brother.
Who?
You. This is usually where we do a petty party or something like that. You ain't want to do that today? Do some clown emojis, you know?
We can do clown emojis, but what we need to do is go in his comments, JW Lucas 702, all right, JW Lucas 702, and put a bunch of suns in his comments, all right, and say, shut up, n***a. Okay? And let's see if he's stupid enough to get on live later and say, I got a bunch of people telling me to shut up, n***a, in my comments. Let's see what happens, guys. This is a good social experiment. Let's see how far he's willing to take this, okay? Go to his comments. His Instagram is JW Lucas, JWLUCAS702. Oh, he must be in Vegas. And put a bunch of suns. Just put the sun in his comments with the phrase, shut up. Okay? Okay.
Keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
Charlamagne Tha God here, and I just want to wish a Merry Christmas to all my credit card scammers out there. Tis the season to find you a scammer friend so you can save some money in any major department store in America.
The Breakfast Club. Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Yee.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
I'm saying Anonymous.
All right, what's your question for Yee, Anonymous? Yes, we can.
All right. So I have a dilemma. When my boyfriend and I first started dating, we're going to, you know, do it in the car, and he pulled his pants down. Ooh. There was a foul odor. he didn't fart. He just, like, had took a dump and, like, didn't wipe his butt.
Hey!
So now we, like, live together, and whenever we're going to do it, I always, you know, I'm hesitant because he doesn't wipe his butt. So he always has a foul odor, and, you know, he always has dookie stains on his boxers.
Those skid marks, that's what they call them.
Yes, skid marks. So how do you tell your man, like, babe, can you please wipe your ass?
Is he a grown man or a baby wearing a diaper? That is disgusting. First of all,
don't judge that man.
I'm going to tell you. Oh, is this Envy we're talking about here?
You mean, is this Gear? But don't judge that man.
No.
All right, so first of all, do y'all have wet wipes in the bathrooms in the house?
I think I need to keep him there, but that doesn't mean he'll use them.
You got to help him out, man, because first of all, there's no way he don't smell the doo-doo coming out his butt when he pulls his pants down, number one. Number two, you might have to tell him you got to get up in there when you wipe yourself and wipe yourself good. And you might have to buy him some wet wipes to carry with him when he goes places and tell him to use those when he uses the bathroom, because this is not something that you can dance around. You have to be direct about this hygiene.
She's right.
But I'm not his mama, though.
Embarrass him one time.
You're going to have, you have, like, to tell him. This? Because you know what? If you don't say something, you're going to just end up having to smell doo-doo every time you have sex.
Yeah, I can't do that.
So just tell him, be like, babe, look at your underwear. Do you see this? You're not wiping yourself well. Are you getting up in the hole?
So you have doo-doo stains on your sheets too, huh?
No, I would never.
If it's in his underwear, it's in the sheets.
But you gotta point it out, because if you don't say anything, then are you just having sex and enduring the smell?
Oh, girl, I don't go down there. Like, I won't go down on him a lot because of that. Like, I'm always afraid. Like, I don't want to get doo-doo in my mouth.
Why is it so hard to tell a man his ass stink?
I don't know, but you could get, can't you get E. coli or something?
I mean, if you're in the ass. I can't wait till he asks you to eat his ass.
I don't want to, oh, hell no. I don't want to hurt his ego, that's it.
Well, girl, I don't want you to get some type of disease either, a bacteria infection.
But true.
this is for his own good. First of all, if you're doing laundry sometimes, you don't want to have to touch that and clean that, right?
Right.
And this is for his own benefit. This is to help him out in his life. You got to show him, look, baby, these are wet wipes. Now, me and you were having this conversation. Don't be embarrassed, because we could talk about anything. And trust me, if you're having sex with this man unprotected, you should be able to tell him his ass stinks and he's not wiping himself.
Goodness gracious.
If you can do that and you can lay up with him and do all of that, then you should be able to communicate with him and tell him, babe, you need to clean your butt.
It's going to be so funny when you tell him his butt stinks and he was like, man, I was thinking the same thing about your poom poom.
And guess what she would do? Wipe her poom poom with a wet wipe.
You said you ate crap.
Who ate crap? You're the one eating crap. Don't you dare say it. I ate crap.
Thank you, mama.
And just tell, listen, this is a time when you got to be direct and be like, look, you know, I don't know if you're just not wiping yourself right, but there's these stains in your underwear, and sometimes I could smell it. So I just want to say you got to wipe yourself better. Here's some wet wipes every time you go to the bathroom. And you shouldn't even have sex with him until after he showers. But if he's not cleaning his butt in the shower either and then getting
out. Why you say butt like that?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say on the video.
Just say his butt. Just cleaning his butt.
Shower is a requirement.
I will say I've been with my wife 21 years. And I do remember a time about 14, 15 years ago where she went down and she was like, hey, man, you need to go take a shower or something. Cause,
hey, man.
You know.
And you appreciated it.
Yeah. I went there. Maybe I didn't wipe properly. I don't know what it was, but she told me. It hurt my feelings. I just went and took a shower.
Is this a common issue between men? Like, I don't understand.
I don't think it was a common
issue. It's happened to me before, once or twice, three times, four times, five times. It happened to me before.
Yeah. So that's why you got to point it out. One day y'all will laugh about it, and hopefully that day that y'all are laughing, his butt will be clean.
But you got to embarrass him. Pick up the underwear and be like, what's this? And then let him see the doo-doo stains, and he'll get embarrassed, and he'll never do it again.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
That's perfect.
And check your sheets, because I bet you got doo-doo stains on your sheets.
Yeah.
I bet you.
Envy knows. Trust me.
Shut up. It's happened to me once or twice.
Put those skid marks in his face.
See? You go too far. Thank you, mama.
How do you like it?
Thank you.
That's actually some young boy stuff, though. Because, you know, like, that's one of the reasons after I do a number two, I do go take a shower.
Except if you're at work.
Yeah, if I'm at work, but then it's not like I'm going home and like me and my wife gonna get right to it. I don't wanna go home smelling like
you
the
should
day.
Never poo and then have sex right after.
Hell
if
no.
If you can take a shower.
I know, we don't want your muddy butt up here either. You better wipe better, bro. All right. Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, hit Ye now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Giovanna.
Uh-oh, what's the matter, Giovanna?
Why you sound like you whispering?
I'm whispering because my college student is home.
Okay.
And I don't want him to hear my question.
Oh, boy. Mommy freaky. All right, let's go.
Yeah, DJ Envy, happy anniversary. My husband and I be celebrating 24 years this summer, too.
Wow.
In our 20s.
Congrats to that.
Yeah, same to you. My question is, I don't know how you deal with all those kids, but what to do now that these kids are home when you're trying to get freaky with your husband?
Do you have any?
Why you sustain these long-term marriages is because y'all do all kinds of crazy stuff, you know? But we trying to figure it out.
How many kids?
Just one. But
okay, he's home from college.
He's graduated last year, thank goodness. But, you know, with everything going on, his grad plans didn't work out. He was supposed to relocate to California. He's home with us. We have a condo and can't get down the way we usually get down, you know?
Oh, so is he ever going outside? Is there someplace like outdoor space
where he can go get some air? Not right now. And we, you know, normally we go to parks, but parks have been closed. We don't want to get arrested because he's essential. I own a catering business, kind of, you know, in the public eye. I don't want to be, you know, known for anything scandalous, but of course.
Y'all be going to the parks getting freaky? I like this.
No. She said,
Hold on.
Yes, they do.
Not now.
Not now, of course. Everything is shut down. We're trying to be safe. As I said, my husband is essential. I own a catering business. Shout out to the small business owners. I fed the front line. Still doing my
What's the name of your catering business? Let's plug that, too, while we're on here.
Oh, thank you. Impa Mama Signature Recipes. I'm in Cliffside Park, but I work out of a commercial kitchen in Inglewood. So Inglewood Hospital, Holy Name, TNEC, Feed the Frontline, we're still doing more.
Now, Giovanna, let me ask you this. Doesn't your son have to go to sleep at some point?
Now that he's home, not really. I mean, come on. You know these older kids. They're on FaceTime all hours of the night, you know, and we're not quiet.
You know what? I think is fun? You need to have sex quietly.
Quietly?
Yes, and that actually is really fun, but it doesn't normally happen, but it's actually very exciting when you know people might.
My husband's louder than me, actually.
Well, you're gonna have to
Mama, you're putting in that work.
You're going to have to cover his mouth while you're doing it, but it's actually something really fun about trying to be quiet while you have sex, and that might just be something y'all going to have to do. Just be careful, quiet. It is exciting.
That
we're going to
try.
Mama, can I be honest with you?
Creative ideas, especially from DJ. What do you do with all those kids? We live in a condo.
Well, first of all, the kids go to sleep. The kids go to sleep, and then the older kids. The
older one, exactly.
But the he knows what's going on. You don't think he having sex?
She like, don't want him to hear that. Nobody want to hear their parents having
sex. Thank you, Angela. The kids don't want to hear that.
Put a lock on that door, and you and your hubby go in.
He's not
going to
walk in.
He's not walking in. So don't worry about it. He'll put his headphones on, and he'll be in his video game.
Savannah, let me tell you what else you can do. Let me tell you what else you could do, because you said the headboard. I'm glad you said that. Put a sheet on the floor and have sex quietly on the floor.
We have carpet on our under the floor under our bed, but
all right. Well, listen. Put a sheet down on the floor.
Can't help that.
Put on some music. Put the TV on. Whatever you got
to
do.
Mama, don't even worry about your son. You know, my daughter came into me. She came into my room the other morning and was like, guys, you know I don't go to sleep at 12 o'clock, right?
Exactly.
You know I hear everything that was going on. And you know what I said? I said, well, you know how you got here, right? And then she just walked out. It is what it is. My daughter's 18. Your son is. He graduated college. He got to be in his 20s. He understands.
I just want to say, you just need to make a fun game out of it. Put that sheet on the floor. Tell him, all right, we got to be quiet. Turn on some music kind of low and just have sex slowly and quietly.
He's a grown-ass boy, Mama. He's in your house. He's old enough now. You and hubby get freaky.
He doesn't want to see his mother's face. His father will come out smiling, but he doesn't want to see me come down and make his avocado toast after I didn't...
Avocado toast.
Well, I hope you would wash your hands at least.
Yeah, all kinds of hands.
My God.
I'm certified washing my hands and everything, but okay, we'll try the sheet on the floor. Thank
you. No, Mama, get your freaky ass on.
This is Ask Yee. She wanted advice, and my advice is have some fun with it. It's a different time. It's a different era. She don't want her son to hear. Put that sheet on the floor and have fun trying to be quiet. Mm-hmm.
Quarantine sex, maintaining the long-term marriages. You got to do what you got to do.
Mama, I haven't worked out the bed thing yet.
And every time he makes a little noise with his mouth and he starts getting too loud, just cover his mouth and be like, hey, you got to be quiet.
Mama, nah. And let me ask you a question. When you find out what to do with the bed, help me out with the bed because I haven't figured that out yet. My bed be squeaking. We haven't figured that out, man. We used WD-40.
We got the purple mattress and everything, and it's still
mine, too.
The mattress.
What the hell is the purple mattress?
He's loud. It's a label. It's a type of mattress. You have an air mattress?
No, we don't have, no, please. We would bust an air mattress. We tried that back in the 90s.
She's trying to play you. Angela Yee just tried to play you, Mom. She's going to tell you got an air mattress. You're a grown-ass woman. She's trying to play you like you some little young cop with an air mattress.
Wow.
You're disrespectful.
I actually have an air mattress as a spare mattress in my house in case I have company. And I'm like, okay, here's an air mattress. So sometimes people come and spend the night. So you can blow up. You could use the air mattress.
In the 80s. No. I don't know if that's going to work. We gonna
and it's a pillow top air mattress, and it's very nice.
Yeah,
and my goddaughter.
Inflate automatically. Yeah, I have that for guests, but I don't think that's going to work for us.
Mama, go in. Don't worry about him.
We're going to go and go, okay, I'm going to take your advice.
Go in. He knows. He understands.
I know you know, DJ MV. Long-term marriage, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right. Sometimes you got to stick.
Now, kids or not.
That's right. Or stick
kids
your face out the window. Let hubby hit it from the back. That way, if you yell, it's outside. You go in. You get freaky.
Then my neighbors. I've already had notices under my door from my neighbors. That's the last thing I need is for them to see my hanging out the window now, too.
Wow.
Why is it so long and hanging out the window?
Not long, but, you know, let's stick my face out the window. That's going to come next.
Oh, my gosh. Well, have fun with it. Get on that floor and have some fun.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck, Mama.
And sustain these long-term marriages. We out here doing it, too.
There you go.
Black love. All black love. And
black love.
Don't do your catering straight from doing what you do with your husband. Just make sure you wash your hands, shower. We don't want any extra...
That food had more love in it, boy. All right. Thank you, Mama. All right. 805.
That ain't love. And that ain't cream either.
800-585-1051. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's that time again.
Ask Charlamagne and DJ Envy anything.
Pick it up. Roll.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask CNE. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, we're going to help you out. We're going to get through as many as we can. Hello, who's this?
What's up, DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God? It's Mailman.
This guy, how old are you, brother?
I'm 46.
Now, you're dating a 19-year-old girl?
Lord have mercy.
No, man. Don't play me like that. No, I'm 19 years older than us.
Oh, you're 19 years old.
How you do this better than the rumor report? This was a great rumor you just started on this poor young man.
So you're 49 and you're dating a young lady that's 19
years
younger?
No, man. Listen, hear me out. I'm 46.
Okay.
She's 27.
Oh, okay.
That ain't too bad.
Yes, that is.
It's better than 19.
You know, it is better than 19. I met her through work and stuff, you know what I'm saying, over time. And I started digging her. We've been kicking it for about 7 months or whatever, but sometimes I be feeling kind of funny because of the age difference. I don't look my age, you know.
Yeah, you sound it. Because you cracking jokes, you be talking to her, and you be like, you so smart, you a regular Doogie Howser. She be like, who the hell is Doogie Howser?
Doogie Howser?
You tell me you're saying.
But if you feel her, who cares? You know, who cares what people think, bro? If you feeling her, she feeling you, you just take your Viagra, your Levitro, the blue pill, and just do what you got to do.
No, I'm A1 on my end.
You lying.
You
got to.
I just feel like that sometimes.
You got to be yourself. That's your own insecurities because you old as hell and she young and you trying to keep up. You know what I mean? That's your own insecurities. You got to get out your own head if you're going to be with that young girl now.
I feel you on that.
All right. Well, good luck, she man.
Gonna
leave remember, you, though. Levitra, the blue pill, Viagra. You got to.
You know she's going to leave you, though.
Because you got to keep her.
I need that Al Green and that Henny.
You riding around with JLX, see that? Al Green. She want to hit Chris Brown. You listening to Al Green. I love Al Green. You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all arguing about whether to listen to the new Act 2 or the Savage Mode 2. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about the trees. I ain't talking about no Al Green singing.
Oh, I didn't know y'all called it Al Green. See, that's my old ass. I'm sorry. I didn't know that's what y'all call weed nowadays. I didn't know it was called Al Green. I had no idea.
That's what they called it back then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Does she know who Al Green is?
Yeah, she know who Al Green is. She should.
Everybody no, ain't no should. She should. She think Al Green is a strain of weed, and y'all call it that because the weed is green. She has no idea that that's an actual singer.
Right.
But good luck, brother.
I appreciate it, though, fellas.
Like you said, don't let your insecurities bother you, man. If you like that girl, she like you, just enjoy.
All right, for sure.
Age is too hard to get over. I know that, you know, you can't help who you grow in love with. Mm-hmm. But when you damn near 50 and a woman's just 27 years old, what the hell are y'all talking about? Seriously. Like, what are y'all talking about? She can't name none of the members of Wu-Tang Clan.
Nope.
She don't remember no episodes of Cosby Show.
Nope.
Like, what are y'all talking about?
She can't tell you about New Edition.
Nope. Nothing. Nope. Don't think she know about New Edition is the movie she's on BET.
Right. Yeah, she does.
That's it.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's Crystal.
Hey, Crystal. What's your question for CNE?
All right. Okay. So I have a sister. We're 14 months apart, really close. So we went on a trip to the Philippines in December, but 2 weeks before the trip, I got fired from my job. Great job. Then it was there for 10 years. So I never gave her the money for the trip when we came back. So I didn't see her. I was in my feelings about being depressed, you know, lost my job or whatever the case was. So fast forward, she tells me that, you know, I took advantage of her. And I'm like, take advantage of you? You're my sister. Like, we're adults. Nobody, neither one of us, well, she's not pressed for the $1,200. And, you know, I was just kind of in my feelings. I have 2 kids. I have a mortgage. I lost my job. And we're in the middle of Corona now. So now she's mad about the $1,200, and she feels that I took advantage of her.
I agree with her.
$1,200.
No, that's her sister.
I gave her $1,200.
I agree with her.
No, that's her sister. She got a whole lot.
Why you ain't give her money back?
Because she lost her job. She got 2 kids and a mortgage.
She shouldn't have went to the Philippines then.
But the trip was already paid for.
Yeah.
Clearly it wasn't. So
no, she paid for it.
Did she tell you that she was paying for you, or did she pay for it with the assumption that you was going to pay her back?
I was going to pay her back.
Things happen.
Exactly. So
that's
I agree
my
with
sister.
Her.
Things nope. happen.
But
she got
I
a job.
I lost my job.
That's right.
Okay.
Your sister got to
so
take
why
that L.
She have sympathy for me.
Because she see you out here still buying stuff. She see you out here still living. You still doing something that make her know that you got that $1,200.
When's the last time you
back?
Went out, mama?
Well, I just came back from Jamaica.
See what I'm saying?
You taking advantage of
I know you wasted
her.
I know you so wasted her. I know it. You should have gave her
nothing.
Her money back
Give
before you went
back.
To Jamaica. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Huh? I gave it to her.
When?
I gave it to her.
Oh, you gave her the money back?
Cool. I gave her money back. But she feels that I took advantage of her, but not with just one situation overall over our lives. But I feel like she's just mean and insensitive. And based off of those feelings that I have, I don't really want to have a discussion with her anymore. Like, I love my sister dearly, but I don't want to be friends with her anymore.
Well, if you took advantage of her.
She should be mad at you.
Well, if you gave her the money back, then she's just being mad at you for being mad. But she probably just...
But how long did it take to get her money back?
That's right.
Before you went to Jamaica?
It is kind of slack that you didn't give her money back. You was just out here balling. Don't you hate when somebody owe you money and they just out here balling?
Y'all are missing it. I have two kids. She has an Audi.
But you went to Jamaica.
She said, I got two kids, and she got an Audi S7. Listen, you're wrong. I'm honest with you, you're wrong.
But I gave it to her.
No, that's good.
So she goodbye.
Need to,
you
she
foul.
Need to get over it, but you're wrong.
You foul.
Are you wrong? She's wrong.
All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now leave us on a positive note.
Listen, the positive note is simply this, man. I actually posted this on my Instagram the other day, but this is something that I truly believe. A bad attitude can literally block love, blessings, and destiny from finding you. Don't be the reason you don't succeed.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.